calling the meeting to order. Come in, George.
I'm doing it.
You can make it to Mozart for 24 minutes if there's no troopers.
You almost got docked. Bob, would you establish quorum, please?
Okay. Dave Stewart.
Present.
And Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams called to let us know he wouldn't be here. Brad Lawrence.
Here.
Doug Fabian.
Here.
Randy Fogle.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
Howard Kitchen.
Here.
And George Kramer.
Yes, sir.
We have established a quorum.
Okay. Would you like to explain that? Meeting procedures?
Okay. I'd like to welcome you to the April 11th, 2016 Taney County Planning Commission public hearing. Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 permit application, which is filed with the Planning Commission staff. At this time, I would like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A, the staff report for each case as Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, as Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening. A staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of each site and any questions for staff. As the chairman had indicated, if you do wish to comment at the public hearing, a sign-up sheet has been provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance at the audience. The public hearing shall be closed upon the conclusion of public comment. The Division 3 permit application heard this evening shall be voted upon during the Monday, April 18th, 2016 Planning Commission regular meeting, so a week from tonight. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
All right. You want to present the...
Okay. This is case number 2016-8. The project is the Majestic at Table Rock Timeshare. The applicant is Majestic at Table Rock, LLC, Daniel Ruta. And the property in question is located at 345 Linhart Lane, and we'll go ahead and zoom in on the property in question. It's in the Branson Township, Section 10, Township 22, Range 22. And we've got a north, south, east, and west view of the property in question. The applicant is requesting the Planning Commission approval of a Division 3 permit allowing for future units within the permitted high-density multi-unit development to be marketed and sold as timeshare units. The subject property is approximately 10.5 acres as shown in Beacon. And it's currently, a portion of it, of course, is platted as the Majestic at Table Rock Condominiums. Located at 345 Linhart Lane, Branson, Missouri. In this, the staff really didn't enumerate the entire history of the development, but chose instead to highlight the general events related directly to the current timeshare request. On August 14th, 1989, the Taney County Planning Commission approved Division 3 Permit 1989-87, which authorized a high-density residential development use, which was to be held in a condominium style of ownership, originally referenced as Paradise Point Condominiums. Condition number 13 of this Division 3 permit states that only condominium use is being approved with this application. Timeshare use is not a part of this permit. The August 14, 1989 Planning Commission minutes denote that Mr. Huffman wants timeshare as a use, he will have to come back for a permit for that. The original Division 3 permit decision of record does not denote a specific number of units that were approved by the Planning Commission. However, a letter written at a later point a letter by the applicant's engineer indicated that the original Division 3 permit was approved for 123 units, and then a letter from the previous planning administrator also confirms that same number of units. So the original development was approved for a total of 123 units. Then on April 4th of 2000, the Taney County Planning Administrator at that time wrote a letter to the City of Branson Planning Administrator, which stated at that time that this project consists of a 10.9-acre tract to be developed as a condominium project that had the ability of nightly rental. The nightly rental option makes it possible for these condominiums to be marketed as timeshares. However, unfortunately, the staff really has been unable to locate any evidence that would suggest that the timeshare of this property was previously approved as a Division 3 permit. On April 11th, 2005, there was a letter from the planning administrator to the developer at the time, Missouri Partners Incorporated, which indicated that in a 1999 court order that was handed down by Judge Eifert, that pursuant to a mandate from the Missouri Court of Appeals, which basically held that the original Division 3 permit was valid and in effect, then on November 16th, 2005, the Board of Adjustment approved a request from the Majestic at Table Rock LLC for an appeal of the October 17th, 2005 decision to deny 37 additional condominium units by the Planning Commission. This Board of Adjustment decision increased the density of the condominium development from 123 units to 160 units total. And so at this point, development has been approved for 160 total condominium units. On March 16th, 2009, the Planning Commission held a concept hearing in which the Commission heard a Division 3 permit request from Dan Ruta, in which the applicant was requesting the Planning Commission approval of a Division 3 permit authorizing the fractional ownership of the Majestic Point condominiums. However, the Planning Department records indicate that that Division 3 permit application was withdrawn. Of course, the current application was approved for concept on March 21st of this year. Again, the applicant is requesting the approval of a Division 3 permit, which would allow the ability to market and sell future units as timeshare units. The applicant has submitted the following conceptual drawing, basically showing that the future units within each building would have the ability to be marketed as timeshares. In review, in 1989, the Planning Commission approved what is now the Majestic at Table Rock condominiums, with a condition specifying that the timeshare use was not being approved as a part of the permit. And then basically, on April 4th, 2000, Chris Hall, the former Taney County Planning Administrator, basically wrote a letter to the Branson City Administrator indicating that this project could be developed as a condominium project, and it had the ability of nightly rental. He stated at that time the nightly rental option makes it possible for these condominiums to be marketed as timeshares. In researching this, I believe that Mr. Hall may have been referencing Appendix N from the Development Guidance Code, which was in place at the time of the drafting of the letter. Basically, in Appendix N, it states that nightly rental constitutes a commercial use, and it's to be permitted as such. Nightly rentals constitute any condominium or townhouse that may be rented for any period of time less than 1 month. Assurance of classification will be made through the filing of restrictive covenants when the plat is recorded. I further believe that Mr. Hall may have been indicating to the Branson Planning Administrator that the nightly rental option existed, allowing for the applicant to apply for a Division 3 permit, making it possible for condominiums to be marketed as timeshares. However, the staff was unable to locate any evidence that would suggest that the timeshare of this property was approved by the Planning Commission. The 89 existing condominium units are served by public sewer via the City of Branson and public water via the Missouri American Water Company. All future units will be served by public sewer and water. The applicant is strictly requesting at this time the Planning Commission authorization of a Division 3 permit, which would allow for the ownership style of all future units to be timeshare. The exterior appearance of the multifamily development will remain much the same as it is now. The adjoining property immediately to the north is single-family residential, with the Southern Comfort and Friendly Hills subdivisions to the north. The adjoining property immediately to the south and west is property owned by the Army Corps of Engineers and, of course, Table Rock Lake. And the adjoining property immediately to the east is primarily vacant residential lots within the Friendly Hills subdivision. The project received a score of 0 on the policy checklist, out of a maximum possible score of 29. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of off-site nuisances, right-of-way on existing roads, emergency water supply, and use compatibility. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves Division 3 Permit 2016-8, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, the City of Branson, and the Missouri American Water Company shall be submitted to the Planning Department office, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. Third, up to 71 future condominium units shall be authorized to be marketed and sold as timeshares. Fourth, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Fifth, Division 2 permits shall be required for all applicable structures in the development. Sixth, prior to the issuance of Division 2 certificates of conformance, the developer shall first present a final inspection from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District to the Planning Department office. And seven, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. And we've got just a couple of pretty brief videos here. Ooh, let's see if we can, sorry. And this is the entryway coming into the property. And we've done just a fairly quick 360 here. And we've just done a quick 360 in front of one of the two buildings here.
Okay, well, I'm glad Bonita didn't have to open any gates this time. all right, we've got a list here. Karen Fain.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm going to read a letter. I'm a board member of the Homeowners Association, and Mr. Frank Riccio is also a board member, but he was sick this evening, so he sent me an email, and I'm going to read that, which he and I worked on together, and then I'll add my comments to the end. So this is from Frank. My wife Cheryl and I own a condo at number 411 and building 2 at the Majestic. We purchased the condo new in the fall of 2009. I'm also a member of the board of directors of the Majestic COA. I have been on the board since December 2012 owners meeting, at which time the owners voted in favor of rebuilding the Majestic after the disastrous fire of August 2012. I'm writing this email on behalf of myself and Cheryl and many of the owners who have contacted me to oppose Dan Ruta's request to the Taney County Planning Commission members to amend and approve building permit to allow him to build the remaining 71 units as timeshares. After working with Dan Ruta as a member of the board member of the Majestic for the past several years, I have great respect for him and his team. With his leadership and planning, we have rebuilt the Majestic, recovering from the disastrous fire that destroyed our property. However, the current 89 owners purchased their condos from Mr. Ruta in good faith and knowing that at some point the development would be completed as single owner is what we thought, single owner condominiums and not timeshares. Timeshares were never an option and never proposed to the current or potential owners. We are looking forward to the completion of our development, and we understand the difficult economic situations that stifled development over the past several years. However, Mr. Ruta's request, which may be beneficial to him, could be very detrimental to the current owners of the Majestic. The mixed ownership of condos and timeshares would most likely create a convoluted ownership of management situation and could have significant detrimental impact on the value of our condos. We respectfully request that the commission members not approve the request to amend the permit to allow the remaining 71 units of the Majestic as timeshares. At a minimum, we request a delay of your decision so that the owners have a chance to meet and gain a better understanding of the impact on property values. The rebuilding of the Majestic was the decision of the majority of the owners of the current 89 units. The vote to rebuild, the owners gave new life to the development and an opportunity for Mr. Ruta to complete the development as initially permitted. A change to timeshares could have a very negative impact to our ownership, and the owners should have an opportunity to fully understand the impact. Thank you for your understanding and consideration. I am an owner of 212, and Frank and I wrote this together, so those are my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Larry Hoffman.
I'm an owner of Unit 413, and some of us sent letters ahead of time, so I don't want to confuse any number counting. I am on record with one of those, but I wanted to be here tonight because I do have a concern. I'd like to have the permission to walk up and point out one spot at that map, because that is kind of the essence of
my issue. These units are referred to as Building 1 and 2, and Building 3 is being asked to be a timeshare. That part of Building 2 is a bedroom for that building. These buildings are going to be so connected that they're one. Karen and Dan,
although Dan probably has a way that he believes he can manage that problem, and our other board member, Frank, that just spoke, have an obligation to all of us owners to figure out how in the world are you going to govern that. There's been a lot of issues aside from the fire, which is huge, that require monthly meetings by those folks, and we're all homeowners. That's 89 people that they're dealing with and that we have to agree on how things are going to work. And I would never thought when I bought in 2007 that I'd be talking timeshares, but I also didn't think that I'd talk about a fire that took everything down in 3.5 hours. So let's use that as a precedent, because it could happen again. I would certainly hope not. I am an owner of a timeshare at Stillwaters. Love it. As an owner of a timeshare, we got 20 years out of that. We've written it off and we're giving it away because you can't get rid of them. But our grandkids have loved it. But looking at it from our point of view, it's a lot of in and out traffic flow. But now my concern is, how do you insure that? our current board is going to have to represent our current 89 people and 200 to 500 other people. I mean, each unit in a timeshare is sold, I mean, potentially 52 times. It's a week. You're not going to get 52. A lot of people don't want to come here, you know, when it's snowing, but I'm telling you, it's a fight in the summer because people want to be there. It's just a mess to administer time. Stillwater's gave up. They've got six timeshare units. Out of their hundreds of rental units, they quit at six, and they said, this ain't going to work. And I don't think it's going to work here either. But let's talk about a fire. What if we have a fire on that end of the building that's managed by timeshares, except it's our board that's got to pick up the pieces? The good news there would be we would have had something to do with how much insurance is there. And I will credit Dan and Mark. They did a wonderful job in that rebuild. And Dan specifically for getting it insured enough that we did all kinds of crap that the insurance company would have had a fit about if it hadn't been a total fire. I didn't like the match. That turned out to be a good event if it was going to have to burn. But the point is, how in the world do you manage that if you have a fire there and you got a bedroom of that unit that's connected to what we already have? Or let's say the fire starts where it did before. Either way, you've got 300 or 400 people over there yelling at 89 people over here, you know, and we're all supposed to be partners in the same thing. That's my first concern, is I don't think it's manageable. If it gets approved, then I would advise not. I would really like to have that building not be a part of ours and touching it. And that's not in the plan, and I would get that. My other concern is I need to ask to move over there again. Right now, there's a road that comes along here from property over there that nobody claims they know who in the heck did it. But at any rate, at the same time this was all carved out to be developed, over by 265, there's another property just like that. And who knows who's going to own it one day. But whoever that is, they might like to use our boat dock and our pool. So if something gets approved, I would like to have something block the ability for anybody else to use anything. Let's just talk about this 11 acres that now is a picture on that map. You come off of 265, and that first picture that was very well done, you know, of the majestic sign, and you're going downhill. We did a 360 and looked uphill. There's property all along there along Gunner Hill that had a sales office at the top that Dan sold this whole operation out of. I don't really know who owns it. Doesn't matter. But one day that's going to be something. And that can be timeshares. And that's fine with me. It can have access to 265. That can be managed separately. I think our little piece of the world needs to be whole units like we were all told it was going to be. Every one of us that I've talked to has said we were specifically told it would never be timeshares. This is a change in the business plan that I understand the need for economically for Dan. I paid $340,000, my wife and I, for our unit. I mean, the size of what Dan's talking about, that's nothing. But tell you what, a lot of that money went into his pocket, and it should have for profit. But now we're there. We don't have any way to adjust for his plan if this becomes timeshares. We just have to watch a lot of people come in that gradually say, I'm not so interested in my timeshare anymore, and do like I've done at Stillwater's and kind of walk off from it and hope somebody will take it and don't care about it. I would just hope that maybe we can result in this not happening. But if it does, I would like to not have that building connected, and I'd like to have something said about what could be a building, how high could a building be in front of me to the lake? Dan's got a good plan right now. I hope if it happens, at least it's going to be three stories high, but I don't see anything that says in Nantucket Cove right now, they're talking about a 20-story building right in front of everybody. Please, I pray, don't let that happen to us. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Mike McCall.
I got nothing to say at this time.
All right, sir. And that's fine if you're just going to repeat what somebody else said.
Correct.
We'll get it. It may take a while, but we'll get it.
Joyce Gatton.
Good evening. I'm Joyce Gatton. I own unit number 216 that we purchased in July of 2014. Some of it will be a repeat. Of course, if we had known that timeshares would be involved in the development, we definitely would not have purchased in 2014. It took me 8 years to talk my husband into doing a condo in Branson, and he was even against nightly rentals, but timeshare would have been absolutely, you know, wouldn't have been part of our game plan at all. So our feeling is that it just changes the dynamics of the whole Majestic area that would be adding to the traffic increase in the area. We feel like the roads are kind of minimal now, getting up 265 down to 76. I spent a few times, I've spent 45 minutes getting from the Majestic up to 76 to try to get into Silver Dollar City. I know that's not a big deal to a lot of people, but it is kind of a problem when you're wanting to go somewhere, namely Silver Dollar City. So I just would, my question would be, are there any plans with the commission to remedy the overflow of the traffic situation, especially in lieu of the fact that it looks like, I'm assuming the Nantucket 20-plus story building is coming. I hope it's not coming, but I know that's going to add quite a few more traffic problems. Again, I feel like the game is being changed in midstream, as has been mentioned, and our property values, we're very concerned about that. And I have just a little document that I was given at the time we bought. And it does have on here buildings 1, 2, and 3, and there is no, and 4, and then there is no picture of any building 5 on this at all. It just says trailer parking. So there's nothing on here about a building 5, just for your information. And then lastly, I'm just questioning the need of more timeshares in Branson. There doesn't seem to be any shortage of timeshare salespeople in Branson that attack you every time you walk into Walmart or different places. So I would just, you know, ask that you would consider the need for timeshares. It seems to be that there are plenty of them now. So that's all I have. Thank you for listening.
Okay, thank you. The next speaker, I've got Bill, and then I'm lost. It's S-H or L or?
Nothing to say.
I
can't hear.
Well, I couldn't read it, so you write a little like I do.
I think what Larry was saying covered what
okay,
I was.
That's fine. That's fine, sir. Ed, and there again.
I'm just in agreement with everything that's already been said.
All right, sir.
I don't have anything to add to it.
I apologize that I can't read the names any better. This is Carol?
Carla
Reese, I think.
I really don't have anything else to add except that we just moved there 3 months ago, and we was told there would be no timeshare at all. When we was talking really with the real estate agents and all that, there was no timeshare because we owned in a timeshare, and we taken a dive in that timeshare. And, I mean, we just would not be any part of the timeshare business at all because it's just traffic flow. I mean, it's just...
If you want to expound on it a little bit, well, please come to the mic.
No, otherwise, I'm just opposed to it.
No, okay. So noted.
Yeah.
Well, here's one that's been marked out, I think.
There's a gentleman on the left.
Next to the last. And I'm just assuming we're getting to the rebuttal part of this. Philip and Debbie.
Yeah, we're owners of 207, and we just agree with what the other owners are saying. Nothing to add.
Okay, all right. And this William Valbrock.
That's what we're...
Huh?
That was the That's for next week.
Okay, that's the one signed for next week. All right. That concludes those that have signed up to speak on this project, except you're here representing the owners. So we'd like to hear from you now and give you a chance to address these issues if you wish.
Hi, I'm Dean Ruda, the developer of the Majestic at Table Rock. So, a couple of things. Obviously, I'm not up here to, you know, the history, as was read earlier. It's been a long history. That piece of land was owned by a gentleman from Wichita before local developers got involved in it, and then local developers got involved, and there was access issues, and you heard, I mean, my goodness, been over here a long time. One of the letters, part of the confusion on this timeshare, was that the administrator did write a letter to us, to Chris Coulter, saying that this project was available for timeshare. But we're here again today because the Planning Commission, I guess, did believe that letter was an error. So, fair enough. But the Majestic has, and from the onset, was available for nightly rental. Okay. So one of the things that I did, because people have a lot of misconceptions about timeshare, what it is, what it does, I'm just going to ask the chairman, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, and if you just had rather not answer, I don't, because I'm not trying to embarrass you, but what would you guess the annual sales of timeshare in Taney County are a year?
Well, I haven't been here very long.
Okay. Would anybody else like to venture a guess? And the reason I'm doing it, because I want you to think about it.
I would say 400 million.
Yeah. It's more than 300. It could be as much as 400. You know something about the timeshare business. Maybe you're involved in it. So it's a lot of money, okay, when you think about what that does. It's a big, big industry for the community on an industry, you know, the sales tax volume, which timeshare is not subject to sales tax. Sorry. Is about $1 billion a year. If you put that another $400 million on top of it, it's a big, big industry for the town. So, what it is, one of the biggest, you know, the biggest players in town by far, are publicly held companies, and our friend Johnny Morse, who, for whatever reason, people fight to go out there and buy a timeshare out there, as we all know, and they're selling him for $25,000 to $50,000. So, I don't understand it, but it is what it is. In addition, Welk, which is a well-respected entity out of California, not publicly held, is a, you know, $30 to $50 million a year player. Wyndham, which is publicly held, is a $80 to $100 million player in town. $80 to $100 million of that a year. Isn't that amazing? So then Diamond, who is a national organization, I believe they're publicly held, but I'm not sure. They're smaller publicly held, over-the-counter if they are. Westgate, which is on the north side of town, is the largest privately owned timeshare developer in the country based out of Orlando that's spending money here. Okay, so anyway, there's a lot of it being sold, and it's a... and I'm part of this, I'm saying this for here, and I, there's a lot of good information, and I subscribe and pay for some data every other year that's done by the major accounting firms where they do surveys on the state of the timeshare industry, who the buyers are, how they perform financially, where the industry's going, what the market looks like. Okay. Anyway, what I'm telling you is the people that buy timeshare, and I brought some little summaries. I'll get for you guys to read, and any of the owners are welcome to come by. I'd be happy to share them with them. What you'll find, I mean, it goes through there. That book is very long, and I'm going to get to the core of it, but I guess there was a lot of concern about timeshare and values. But I think it is important for everybody in this community and the owners to understand what timeshare is and what it isn't. But if you look at who those people are, and it talks a lot about the Xers and the Ys, and it doesn't talk as much about the boomers because that's a marketing piece about who's buying going forward. But I can tell you that nationally, and coming to Branson, that the average, and there's data, that the average person that buys timeshare has twice the average income of the average visitor to Branson. Okay? The average person that buys timeshare has twice the household income as the average person coming to Branson by the Chamber's numbers compared to the average timeshare. So they're not, everybody has a term. It was an immature industry, and they had some problems. Today, about 65% of the timeshare sold in the country are by publicly held and well-financed companies, and so many of those problems are history. Irregardless, so I really do, and I encourage all the owners, if they would like to educate themselves, I do have the data, and I'd be glad to share it with anybody. I think they'll find it interesting at a minimum, because it's kind of an interesting case study. Branson is the third largest timeshare market in the country. Orlando's first. Vegas is second. Branson is third. Okay. So it's a significant part of our business. It's a significant part of our community. It's a significant part of the county. Okay. So it is fourth. Maybe it's fourth. But anyway, so that's a little bit about it. So as people had said, we got to where we did, and I'm going to share some stuff, but I'm not trying to be aggressive. And if I thought that this was going to hurt the values of the owner's product, I wouldn't do it. The average timeshare in this town, the average yield on a unit, meaning the 52 weeks that were mentioned, is something, it varies depending on the project, but it approximates somewhere between 900 and $1.3 million per unit. That's what the people are paying to buy that unit 52 times as opposed to one time. Okay, so if that's the case, if you drive around town, most of you I'm sure have, and by accident or on purpose, you've walked into, and part of the reason I'm not trying to take it, but since you don't have a big agenda and it's six, I also would like, I want the owners to understand a little bit about the business too, if they will. And hopefully I won't bore you, so I'll try to make it fairly quick. But if you look through the projects, quite almost without exception, Nantucket, I can't speak for him, but the building that Larry had talked about or and another owner referenced, I believe, is a 10 or 11-story building. I'm sure it was approved right here. It's a nice-looking building. You know, cutting the views, whatever, I can't make deal. You know, we all want, kind of human nature, myself included, we all want something, new development to stop when we get our new home. So it kind of human nature. I get it. I'm a developer. That's what I got. So to kind of get to the point, but again, I welcome all the owners. I'm not trying to upset your life. I really, and I told the board, and obviously I've been in the community 30 years and haven't been in the timeshare business. I know a lot about it because I buy paper all over the country. So I know a lot of the developers and I know a lot about the industry, but I do not have an appetite. My partner might, but I don't have an appetite for getting into the industry. And believe me, I wouldn't have bought the Majestic property and spent $7 or $8 million on infrastructure if I thought I was going to sit and look at it for 10 years and continue to pay property taxes and take care of it if I thought that that's what was going to do. So obviously the world changed. No one's fault, but it is what it is. So I don't have anybody in mind right now, but obviously I am making the application, so I do understand the severity, and I take it that way. So, but I do want everybody to understand that. So I wanted to kind of get to some of the comments, and again, I don't mean to be contrary. I don't mean to call anybody out. But one of the things that is in here, and again, and I think it's been pointed out, and I think everybody understands, is that we are not asking to change timeshare in any of the 89 units that are there. And they are all contiguous and together. So we're not going to be, per se, building in the middle of somebody else's project, as I think this board knows, and I think all the owners know, but I'll repeat, is that the land that is not built on is not part of their condominium. It is not part of their association. And in all likelihood, as I think most everybody would probably agree with, is in the event that I would do some type of a venture with the timeshare, is that developer, they're going to want their own association, right? So many of the concerns that were there are not going to be, they'll be governing themselves and getting, as one of the comments, their own insurance, okay? So many of those issues, I think, would go away, and quite frankly, probably best. So to kind of get down to the other heart and said, Dan Ruta, did you misrepresent to these folks about what was going to happen? So, and I understand, probably a third of these folks I met sometime during, to half of them at some time during the sales process. Most of them I didn't personally sell to, although some of them I did. But I'm pretty much there. Pretty much a lot. So I did meet him. I hear about what's going on. And I sign off on every single file. Every single file. So one of the things that I do know, and those of you that don't know about the Condominium Act in Missouri, the Condominium Act is that was designed and how timeshare typically works, is that what is typically done is the timeshare comes under the Condominium Act, and then it is further subdivided into 52 weeks. Sometimes that's done via a second condominium to take care of the special needs of the 52 owners from the services that the Majestic, in this example, the Majestic at Table Rock would take care of via the COA. And sometimes it is one association which be entirely standalone. Okay, so it can be done either way. But part of the reason I brought that up, part of the Condominium Act, and I will offer any owner here tonight, as well as any owner, is that, because we're pretty thorough about it, I'm not saying one couldn't have fallen through the crack, but it would have very much been the exception, is that some of the documentation that they sign, and that if they ask about it, we always went into a lot of detail, and I can tell you, I'm not saying that everyone, but many times the timeshare notation did come up. By the Condominium Act, there are several things that have to happen. Obviously, there's a document called the declarations that is public record. Okay? Everybody signed an acknowledgement once or twice, once at the time they purchased it, put it under contract, and then 2 weeks to 2 months later, at the time to several months later if we were under construction, because obviously some of the folks in this room bought while they were under construction, and so there may have been a 6 to 8 month lapse. So they signed again that they got this document. Also, I bought pretty much without exception and paid for title insurance for the people in this room and on their title policy that I paid for that says they have title, is that it says, folks, you understand that your condominium and your real estate purchase is subject to recorded declarations right here. It's on every one of their title policies. But more importantly than that, okay, so at the time of the sale, there was an original sale certificate, which anybody that bought for me, and anybody that bought from a realtor, I don't take responsibility for the realtors, okay? They can take that up with their realtor. I take responsibility for anybody that works for my organization about whether they got the documents. So, and again, I'm not trying to be controversial, because obviously I appreciate these people and I appreciate who they are. And as they said, You know, that fire event, it was a big event. One of the biggest probably the county ever saw. It was a pretty horrific day. A lot of bad things happened, and it happened for some things that were beyond anybody's control. Running out of water, having a 30-day period of time where 20 days was over 100 degrees in a day that we had 25-mile-an-hour winds and two storms came through. So, but we made the best of it, and we worked hard at doing that. So my intention, that was my job. I accepted it. Thank goodness we made some right decisions and did the right thing and were able to get it done, okay? But anyway, so with that, so I agree all that and accept that going forward. So at the date of closing, what I guess I'm trying to say is that everybody got an original sales certificate, okay? Everybody got one. And in that document, okay, back at the just a few lines above the signature page, is it talks about that I have the rights to change the development to a timeshare development. Okay? So this document was signed by everybody. And again, I'm not saying that to say that that was my original intent. Obviously, my original intent was to build whole ownership. And if we wouldn't have had a period of time in this town where construction would have dropped off to nothing for the last 10 years, I'd still do it. It's a beautiful piece of property. I like to build stuff. Okay, that's what I'd like to see doing it. But it wasn't like I changed the rules or that I broke a promise or that I didn't communicate. That is a misstatement. The other side in the declarations, it said, please understand, and it's also very close to the signature page, and it's marked. It's the second to the last item, and it's marked in a big paragraph with the word underlying timeshare, and there's a paragraph that I have the rights to do that. And in fact, I have the rights to change the existing building, to buy a unit back, or I still have an interest in one, and change it to timeshare. I would not do that. I don't think that's appropriate. I don't think that's the spirit. And again, I'm not saying this to be aggressive here. I'm saying it because I think there was some reference that I maybe had been less than forthright. So whether in top of these documents that everybody received and acknowledged, one at the time they purchased and another at the time they closed, there was an acknowledgement that they did receive both of these documents also that they signed. So anyway, so I wanted to answer that. But with all that said, so then come back to the real gist of the deal is it going to hurt their property values? So what I was trying to say is that I don't believe they will. People can say, well, my goodness, there's 52, and think about all the traffic. Well, whether it's any of the folks that are here today, is that they, a family member, a relative, a friend, typically they don't all use it at the same time. Even their own units, and most of the people out there, out of the 89 total units that are whole ownership, that are going to remain whole ownership, this permit does not change that, or this application does not change that, is that they use the condo, typically one family or a family and an extended family at a time. Everybody that stays in the condo does not come all year and move in, and nor would that be the same with timeshare. So the use is very similar to the way they are. The number of people at the Majestic, it was designed, and the structure from the onset was mainly to be, as it is being used today, is that under a half a dozen people live at the Majestic full-time as their primary residence out of 89, which means the rest of the folks, it's a vacation home, a second home, and or a combination of those and an investment property. So to say from a use that it's a gigantic change, I understand that when you say the word timeshare, everybody gets nervous about it. If I didn't know, wasn't in the business, I'd be nervous. So I guess that's why we have this this open session. So I'd be glad to take questions. And again, I welcome any of the owners to come by. I'll be glad to share other information on what timeshare is and what it isn't, and if they have an interest, I'd be happy to do that.
And how many did you say were full-time residents of the 89
units? I didn't add it up exactly, but less than six of the owners that own live there as their primary residence.
You talked about the letter that came from administrator to administrator, and you talked like you got a copy of that. Do you have a copy of that? Give that to Bonnie.
Yes.
I'd like.
We've got a copy too.
So there was a letter written one time.
Yes.
I think everybody ought to have.
Okay.
Copy.
Yeah, I think so.
But again, I'm not calling foul on that. Fair enough. I guess my only reason for bringing it up was that there's been some confusion in this. And I wish that it hadn't, because then we wouldn't be here. And you can't come to a meeting like this, and these folks get up and said, the last thing I need, I am a relationship sales guy. Okay? I do not, I think without exception, everybody that bought here, I did not pay him $300 to $500 to come and sit down and talk to me. So this structure is not good for me. I don't like it. It's not healthy, but it is what it is, and so we are trying to comply.
Does anyone else on the commission have any more questions of this gentleman?
Do you know if there's nightly rentals there now?
Yes. Oh, yes, sir.
And who runs those different?
Primarily me, sir.
You run the nightly?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. A company affiliate, not the Majestic at Table Rock, an affiliate of mine. And there has been since day one. And
I've got one question. On your concept, on your additional buildings, will they connect to the existing buildings, or will there be...
The concept from day one, when it was originally applied for and approved, was that, yes, they would. And the reason is that those of you that have been out there, the upper portion, the bigger building per the top portion of your map, is that those of you that have been out there, the top land is, it's all the apples, right? So, Karen and Frank, when we talked in a board meeting about this very issue, I said, quite frankly, I'd probably like to build the rest of them up there, because that makes a lot more sense. But obviously the cost of construction and the permitting is an issue. So, but to answer your question, yes, they have been and were anticipated to be there. And, from a standpoint, I do understand Larry's comment. I guess I can appreciate it. But you go to any major city in the country, in the world, and... every building in every major city is connected to the neighbor. So.
Anyone else on the commission here that has something? George?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I've heard that some papers from some of the folks that you personally represented to them that you were not considering timeshare. Do you recall that?
Well, obviously not. I'll just emphatically say that's not the case.
Okay.
I talked to Doug Fast, who's my sales, and I'll make several comments. I'm by no means calling anybody in this room.
I'm not asking you to. Anyway,
but here, it's a no. It's an absolute emphatic no.
Anyone else?
When you say you do timeshares,
nightly rentals, I mean, not timeshares, nightly rentals.
Okay.
Of those 89 owners, how many of those do you believe do, I mean, how many have done the nightly rentals?
Approximately 30 right now.
Okay. So about a third?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Well done. At this time, this concludes the public hearing of this project. The vote will be taken on March the 18th at 6 o'clock in this room, 1 week from now. Pardon? Yeah, what did I say, March? Woke up again.
So that is it permissible to attend?
Yes, it is a public meeting. You're invited to attend, welcome to attend. There will be no more, as the little sign says, there will be no more public input on it unless we specifically ask somebody for something that is here. Other than that, it'll be a public meeting and we will do the voting at that time. And so that concludes this part of on this project. You're all free to go or leave or whatever. And we'll finish up our business, whatever there is of it. If you will, please move on out quickly, or so we can finish the meeting. No,
please.
We'll be all right. I'm sorry, Bob.
No, that's fine.
All right. On further business, do we have any other old or new business or anything we want to discuss?
I don't have anything at this point unless I see one hand.
George?
Do we have access to a copy of the declaration that the other owners
they're on record.
We got one here.
I don't have one with me. I can sure get it.
I would dearly love to see a copy of that before the vote.
Okay.
I can almost bet it's just like the man said. It's just right it's there.
I would bet too.
I would agree with
you. I've done those before, and yes, they always have.
I promise you, it's there. It's just how it was represented. We'll never know. I guarantee you it's in the wording, but we will never know how it was represented.
Press
there's
hard.
No way.
Sign three copies and there you go.
As Judge Suge says, that's hearsay, right?
That is exactly right.
it's just in here, but we're never going to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Then the last paragraph says nothing's been said and changed.
They can't prove it was represented that way. It is what it is.
And the other thing is not all those units were sold by Ruth. They were sold by
other real estate agents sold several of them.
You don't know what they told them. That's why he said.
Yeah.
Take it up with your real estate person.
I promise you he's covered on paper.
Any other business here on this or comments or anything on that? If not, do I hear a motion?
I do want to ask a question about another project.
Go
Snowden's Heating and Air.
Yeah.
Has that come through?
No.
Haven't seen it.
We've got a future site.
I saw it.
Did you see it? Okay.
And I know he does my work.
Yeah.
I know Larry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd say they just haven't got around to it yet. Because there wasn't any building or anything going on.
No, it was just a sign right there. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the Smith on Bear Creek?
Yeah. Yeah, he moved up to Dave Orr's old store up on 248 or bought that property or some transactions taking place there.
Were you searching for a motion to adjourn, sir?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking for one.
I make one.
I was looking for a second.
Yeah, I've got it right here. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Motion
Thank you.
Is accepted.